This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. The recent cheating scandal at Harvard has prompted a flurry of questions about academic honesty, the pressure to succeed in campus culture. It has also raised some big questions about testing.
A recent piece on Slate says that while plagiarism is indefensible, some of the Harvard students were simply working together. So although they did break the rules, the Slate piece argues that collaboration should be encouraged, not penalized.
Which prompted a provocative piece by Leon Nafak, ideas reporter for the Boston Globe. Nafak asked, what exactly do we want our tests to be testing?
It's a big question, and it invites a rethinking of what a test should be. For many of us past our testing years, school tests required thinking quickly, recalling facts, filling in the bubbles, and spitting out what a teacher said we needed to know to get a good grade. The answers were yes or no, white or black, right or wrong.
But what about harder-to-measure qualities and attributes, things like creative thinking, problem-solving, and the ability to collaborate with others? Shouldn't we also be testing for crucial skills like these? Well, it turns out a growing field of educators and researchers are working on just that, developing new and innovative ways to test. And that was the focus of Leon Nafak's piece in The Globe, and he joins us now from the Boston Globe to talk about it. Leon, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. Great piece.
Thanks.
Also with us is Judy Clark Madura. She's a researcher at Harvard's Graduate School of Education who's working on a new model of assessment and piloting it in Massachusetts schools. And Judy Clark Madura, great to have you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And let me start with you, Leon, from your piece. Let's talk generally about why people are thinking about new ways to test. What's the basic problem as they see it and about how we test right now?
So basically, I think the problem that these people are trying to solve is that the tests that we're used to test a very limited range of skills. As you said, they might test whether you can remember something or how fast you can do something. As time goes on, we've come to realize that there's a lot more important skills that people use out in the real world. And you mentioned a few of them. And so the challenge is, well, how do we measure these sort of soft skills? How do we assess whether someone possesses them or not?
And I guess one of the points that you make in the piece, which I'm really interested about, is this: the sort of testing regime that's out there by and large represents a model that's about a century old. So it needs to catch up with what's going on, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Can you say a little more about that? I mean, what in particular is going on in society that sort of requires a different way of testing?
Well, I think part of it is just that people are, you know, employers are kind of opening their eyes to the fact that what makes a good employee is whether he or she can work with other people, whether he or she can come up with creative solutions to problems. And I think there's an idea that the tests that we're all that have been in place for the last 100 years are testing things that are sort of easy to test. But that doesn't mean that they're testing the right things.
And Judy Clark Madura, I haven't forgotten about you. I just want to ask Leon one more question about some other examples of what's going on out there. Tell us about the work, for example, of David Schaefer and other researchers you profile who are developing new ways to test.
Sure. So Schaefer, he basically makes games. He calls them epistemic games. And he's a professor at University of Wisconsin-Madison. And he makes these games that students play that monitor what they're doing while they're playing. Basically, there's a mechanism that records everything, every button they press, every click they make on their computers, and also, most importantly, every interaction they have with each other. So, for example, he has a multiplayer game called Nephrotex. Mm. And Nephrotex is basically a game in which players are interns at an engineering firm that designs membranes for kidney dialysis equipment. I know that sounds like really specific and kind of random, but the skills it's testing for are actually quite generic and universal. So basically the way it works is you're on a team with a bunch of classmates, and it starts with you getting an email from a character in the virtual internship program. And the object of the game is basically to develop a prototype of this filtration device. So the students sort of study the material, device is made of, they go over the needs of the company they're working for, which is Nephrotex, the name of the game. And they're basically able to make experimental devices by making certain choices on the computer that they can then test. And so the heart of the game, as I understand it, is that the students basically work together to figure out which of the prototypes they've built best fit with what the company needs the device to do.
Interesting. Listeners, what do you think about what you're hearing? Do you think we need to change how we think about testing? What skills should our tests measure? beyond the 3 R's of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And are there any downsides to testing things like collaboration or creativity? Give us a call. Join the conversation, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And Jody Clark-Madura, let me turn to you. Let's talk about the test that you've developed. It's called a virtual performance assessment, if I'm using the right term.
Yes.
And the title of the one that you've been piloting is called There's a New Frog in Town. And here's a bit from the demo.
When students log into the assessment, they select an avatar that they want to represent them in the virtual world. In this particular assessment, there is a village with 4 farms. The camera slowly focuses in on a 6-legged frog.
So a 6-legged frog, Jody, what happens? What happens next?
Okay, well, first I wanted to say that we started with an authentic science problem. So mm-hmm. this is a problem that students, you know, scientists may have to solve in the real world. So it has the look and feel of a video game. So students, when they log in, they have an avatar, and they see the 6-legged frog, and they're told there are different competing hypotheses for what caused the frog to get 6 legs, and they need to design an investigation, and they need to figure out what caused the frog to get 6 legs. They build a claim, and then they support it with evidence.
I see.
So they get to walk around this. It's a 3D virtual environment, and there's farms. They can walk to each of the farms. They can collect data at the farms, frogs, tadpoles, water, and then they can conduct tests on these data in the laboratory.
And tell us what skills this tests and how it does it.
Great. So scientific inquiry is higher thinking skill, problem solving. You can't solve with multiple choice tests. So we're specifically focused on process and product. The product is the claim that they build at the end. They have to build a claim for what caused a 6-legged frog, and then they have to support it with evidence that they collected. And so that's reasoning from evidence, which is an important skill for students to learn. And then also there's the process piece. They design an experiment. To gather data to generate their claim. And so they get assessed on their ability to design a scientific investigation. So are they running multiple samples? Do they use a control? So that kind of information that we can get based on what they're doing in the environment.
And I understand that you've been piloting these tests in some local schools around Massachusetts. Where have you been working, and what have you found so far? What have the results been like?
Well, we had a partnership with Watertown Middle School, and we worked with them closely over a number of years as we designed the assessment and revised it. And we've also worked with some middle schools in Framingham, Lexington, and Dedham. And so what we found is that, A, these tests are more engaging for students. There's more autonomy. Students actually get to solve a problem, gather their own data. There's less anxiety. And they actually do feel like they're conducting an experiment. Teachers like them. Teachers understand that multiple choice tests are not a good measure of scientific inquiry. We take students out. We talk about we want students to conduct experiments, to go into the world, to investigate, and yet then we assess their ability to do that via a multiple choice question. So teachers are actually surprising. Well, teachers are interested also in these type of assessments, and they understand the need to really think about measuring different kind of skills that we want to see students have when they graduate from high school.
Well, Jody Clark-Madura and Leon Nafok, stand by, because I want to bring in a couple of callers into this conversation. Let's go to Kevin, who's calling from East Boston with a question. Hi, Kevin. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
One of the areas that I'm very passionate about is the idea of negotiation in the context of a business environment. I think kids are graduating college today. They're not taught how to negotiate, for example, during the hiring process for their salary. They're not taught how to negotiate for raises. If they're in a buying or in a selling position in their companies, kids are not taught how to market their services for their company, and therefore, are very far behind, I think, where they could be. Whereas I think if we, in high school, taught some of those basic negotiations and bartering skills, I think they'd be much better off.
Kevin, thanks so much for the conversation. Leon, for the call. Leon, let me come to you. Anything out there that addresses that kind of issue that Kevin was raising? Negotiation?
I did not come across any tests like that, but I mean that sounds like something that's kind of would be perfect for one of these.
Yeah, it really does, doesn't it? One of the challenges I gather is it's much harder to quantify these skills. So how are folks thinking about that? Leon, to you first.
Well, so I think that's sort of the hardest part. Like, so with, for example, with Schaefer's game, he's got all this data coming in about what the students are doing and what they're saying to each other. So the difficult part is, like, how do you interpret that? What combination of keystrokes and clicks, you know, means that the student possesses, you know, skill X or skill Y? You know, that's sort of the part where they do all their work, by trying to figure out what kind of behaviors or decisions that are made within the game correlate to the skills they're trying to measure. And it's hard because you know, it's an attempt to objectively assess something that is on some level essentially subjective.
Yeah, and Jody Clark-Madura, let me ask you the same question. That challenge of quantifying these skills that are difficult to quantify.
Well, it's all about having good design. So you want to think about designing actions, because you're really, rather than having students select an answer, you're having them produce an answer. Mm. So you have to have an idea of what you want them to produce. So we start with a framework, evidence-centered design, that really helps you think through that. What are the skills that I'm trying to assess, and what are the observations that would demonstrate that a student is actually performing that skill? And then when I look at the actually observation of what a student does, what does that tell me about what they knew about the skill? Like, is it telling me that they understood it or they didn't understand it? So we think about our assessment not in terms of items, but in terms of actions that students are doing, and then what we expect to see from those actions.
One of the concepts that I was reading about, I think it showed up in Leon's piece, something called stealth monitoring. That is, tests that are assessing qualities and performances that a test taker might not even be aware that he or she is being tested on. Can you talk about that? Because it seems like that might open a bit of a troubling issue for some people. I mean, issues around disclosure, about privacy, about, you know, what is actually being tested, and should we know at all times what is being tested? Jody?
Stealth assessment is something that Val Schutt talks about in her work, and what it really is that students will play a game, maybe a game on physics, and they're being assessed as they play the game. So it's not something that's invasive. It's not, you know, we're not, you know, taking information from the students. Typically, it's just a way of presenting the information so that it's not like you're given a quiz with items that you're responding to. You're participating in an experiment, and you're being assessed on what the kind of actions or the decisions that you make as part of that game. So I don't think it's as difficult, you know, or as bad as you're making it sound. I think it's more the sense that we can actually have students actually engage in a task that's actually meaningful for them, and we can actually understand what they know based on how they're performing within that task, which actually is a great way to assess.
Let's take one more call. Peggy is calling from Sherburne. Hi, Peggy, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
This is my question. I have three daughters, two of whom are in college and one is in seventh grade, and you know, it seems that they're being tested on data that they need to keep in their minds and remember, when they can really find that at a keystroke, you know, anywhere from their mobile phones to their computers, et cetera, and that the world that they're going in to work in really requires more than just this memorization of rote information beyond the basics of learning how to read and write, et cetera. So how is it that we can help these kids in this kind of environment?
And I think that's sort of what inspired Leon to write this piece. Leon, do you want to respond to Peggy and her question?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I remember, like, when I started college, I was thinking to myself, you know, it used to be that education was like learning information. And now it strikes me that it's possible that being able to retrieve information, being able to distinguish, you know, reliable and accurate information from a sea of, you know, misleading, you know, websites is actually much more important. As Peggy said, you know, we can pull up any old thing on our phone in 2 seconds. So is it more important to have the thing in our heads, or is it more important to be able to find it?
Do we run the risk of losing anything? In other words, Leon and Jody, chime in as well. Is there value in doing sort of solo work, memorizing facts, you know, working in a time-pressured situation, all these aspects that sort of define a traditional test? Do we run the risk of losing anything of value if we move forward with these new models? Leon, you first.
Well, I mean, I don't think anyone is suggesting we replace, you know, standard tests with these entirely. And I don't think anyone would argue that knowing stuff isn't important. I think, you know, in my own experience, like when I know a subject cold, like I have it all in my head, I can think about it a lot more productively and I can have more sort of nimble thoughts about it. If I have to look everything up, you know, that's a lot harder. So no, I think knowing things is extremely important.
And yeah, Jody, last word to you. Go ahead.
It's really about the application of knowledge. Can students actually apply this knowledge? And that's really what we're concerned about. Not can they memorize a fact, but can they actually use it in a situation? Can they apply it to a different context?
That's Jody Clark-Madura. She's a researcher at the Harvard Graduate School of Education and co-investigator on the Virtual Performance Assessment Project. Jody Clark-Madura, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And Leon Nafok, he joined us from the offices of the Boston Globe. He's the ideas reporter for the paper, and you can find a link to his piece that prompted this whole conversation. Leon, great to have you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much.
And listeners, continue the conversation on our website and stay with us. Coming up, Southie on the Stage, David Lindsay-Abaire's new play, Good People, makes its Boston debut. It examines class division in South Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks with Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston. Thank you.